The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Mark Duffy.
By golly gosh.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
Now, joining me in the studio is Glenn Quartermain. G'day, Quarters.
Ben, how are you?
Good, mate. We have so much to talk about at the moment. And now, we're going to talk of the AFL draft. We've got a little bit of audio here of Neil Rasmus and friends going nuts when he got drafted. You want to take a listen?
Yeah.
Fremantle selected Neil.
What do you reckon? They're pretty excited.
Oh, they're excited. It's great theatre. The AFL will be loving it. Straight out of the NBA model.
Yeah, the NFL. Very
NFL
similar.
Model. Oh, AFL will be loving it.
Tell us about what did you make of the first day of the draft?
A real win for Freo, I'd say. I do like the player West Coast picked up as well. Freo drafted local. We forecast they would in the paper. I really like Jai Amos. It addresses their forward line. It also addresses the fact that he kicked 51-15 in the Colts last year with East Perth.
Wow.
So he can kick straight. He's got a beautiful kick on him.
just what Freo needs.
Yeah, good contested mark. Great leading patterns already for a young player. Really good pickup and local. Neil Erasmus, captain of Hale, you know, real leader as a young man, elite runner. Most of them are these days, but he really is. I just think he's a great pickup as well. Addresses that midfield with Chera going out. West Coast, Chessa, interesting in that Victorian, their record's not too bad, by the way. With keeping retaining players, he with the Victorians, they haven't played much footy in the last couple of years, and in his case, he's had a bit of a knee injury as well. But just from the footage I've seen of him, I really like the run and dash he brings. From sort of, I look at him as a bit of a halfback, great runner, great kick. I think he'll really add to that group. So I think that's a really good pickup from them. Interesting, they slid back two positions in the draft when they knew, I think they missed out on Malera Wanganeen, who they were after. So they knew they were going to get Chessa. So let's slide back two spots in the draft and get a future second round. I think it's a really smart strategy. When you know what you're going to get anyway, you can do a deal with Port Adelaide. So this is the future, isn't it? Sort of trading and
Well, that's it. Well, let's talk about the theatre of the draft, Quarters. Like it's an interesting one where you've got some of these young kids sitting there waiting to hear their name called. Well, then they don't.
Well, Matt Johnson, Subiaco. So he's going to get picked up today. So let's just address that from the start. Didn't get picked up in the first round, but no great shakes. He's going to get picked up very early, if not first pick in the second round. He's got a great future ahead of him. So at the end of the day, you're on a list and away you go. For me, if you invite three players or four players to the draft presentation, why not make it a dozen? Make it your dozen best kids from your state so that if the guy that's most likely doesn't get picked up, he's not sitting out there on a limb on his own. I just think it's unfair on the kid.
Then you've got even more disappointed kids.
Well, then you're one of 10, aren't you? 10, 12 who didn't get picked up in the first round. So it's no great shame not to be picked up. It's all about strategy. I'm sure there are players that got picked up in that first round that he's a better player than and will be a better player than. It's just strategy and what clubs needs and those sorts of things. So he'll get picked up early. I think it's going to be fascinating tonight at 4 o'clock to see what happens with Fremantle. They have the first pick in the second round, which is
a prized pick, right?
It's coveted because it's your first crack at the rest of the best. And so there's a lot of offers coming their way overnight. So what do they do? Do they go with Matt Johnson or do they allow another club to give them split picks or a split pick and perhaps a future in the next year's draft when we'll have a bit more of a sample size of, say, the Victorian kids who've been
playing
a bit of footy.
Right? Yeah.
So it's smart. They've got to weigh out what the offers are. There'll be plenty of them. It depends on who. And then the other clubs have to decide, like, do we want to give Freo two picks? Do we want to split picks? Or do we wait and see? Hawthorn's a great example. They're keen on Johnson, but they've got it. Where do they go? Do they just wait and hope? There's still a lot of talent available, so fascinating to see how this plays out today.
And I've got a question for you. So, like, I know more about how the NFL and NBA drafts work than the AFL draft, and I know that, you know, when you're drafting those prospects, which come in much more polished because they've been playing generally college sport, which is a very elite level anyway, in front of big crowds, so you can project a bit easier, I think, to the professional ranks. But you've got, say, if you've got, you know, a top 10 pick, because of their collective bargaining agreements, there's a certain pace structure attached to those first 10 picks, then the next, you know, sort of 10 or so picks, and then going into the next round, they get paid less, third round get paid less, so on and so forth. Is it the same in the AFL?
It's similar. Yeah, you do get paid more as an early pick. I don't think it's as structured as it is in the NFL and in the NBA. I think with your first rounder, so Jason Horne-Francis, who we all knew was going to get picked up number one, I think you get 10 grand, and there's a little bonuses that are added on, I think, through NAB. With the theatre of it, I tell you what bugs me, apart from only having three kids in a room, is North Melbourne flagged weeks out, if not months, they were going to go with Jason Horne-Francis as their number one. But yet they took the 5 minutes as the first pick. Come on. I know it's about the theatre.
Exactly. And maybe waiting to see if they're going to get a last-minute trade.
Well, they would argue there's that, and they would argue that it gives them more time to think about picks further down the line and what their strategies are going to be. I suspect it's all about theatre, Ben. You've had 6 months to field trade offers from other clubs. We know Richmond offered them two early picks to get Jason Horne-Francis. This kid's going to be a ripper, by the way. He's going to be probably Patrick Dangerfield, but a better kick.
Do you think the draft, you know, I know the AFL would like to think it's on a par with those big professional sports in America as a spectacle, because the NFL draft, I think, gets more viewers than a game in the World Series baseball championship.
Is that right?
So, yeah, it is massive, absolutely massive. That's the size of the NFL over there.
Well, that's their number one sport, isn't it? So.
But those players that are getting drafted are already household names nationally because they're playing for the big blue blood college programs in front of a
We're getting better
people.
Here, you know.
Do you think it's getting to be a spectacle
absolutely
here?
Absolutely more so. And I think, look, these players are looked at within an inch of their lives now. Yeah. Now, we know we've had the sample size smaller in Victoria because they haven't played any footy, but next year we will. I mean, a lot of the WA kids, we know everything about these kids. We've been writing about them for months, Ben. So they are already household names, and certainly here. So it is becoming more like the US, yes.
And so, talking about spectacles, Australian cricket has been I don't know if it's a spectacle or a debacle in recent in the last week or so. And so we've got this kind of interesting situation where the captain, Tim Payne, resigned, whatever you want to say, over a texting issue. He sent a picture of his wang to a Cricket Australia employee a couple of years ago. Cricket Australia knew about it, still made him captain, and it's only when it's become public that he's fallen on his sword. But now we could
Pardon
be in
the
this...
pun.
But now we could be in the situation where who's captain now? Cummins.
Well, they haven't announced it yet. There's a five-man selection. It's a mess, Ben.
There's before
a five-man
the
selection. Or five. Sorry, not five-man, five-person selection committee who will pick the captain. It'll be Pat Cummins. All the intrigue for me is who's vice-captain. And you know what? They're going to go with Steve Smith. So I'm horrified by that thought.
One injury from the top job.
Pat Cummins breaks down in the first test. Steve Smith is captain. Why, I ask? He's had his chance as a captain and failed as captain. Showed no leadership at all throughout the Cape Town drama. None. Great batsman. Absolutely a lock at four and for many years to come. Love him as a batsman. Failed as a captain. Why is he going to be vice-captain? Surely we can go to a... Marnus Labuschagne, who everyone's said they can see as a future captain, but behaviour pattern's not quite there yet on the field. So groom him as a future captain. Put him in as vice-captain.
That's
give him that opportunity. Why are we going back to Steve Smith? I don't get it. If you want another distraction for the Ashes, you've got one.
Yeah, exactly.
Barmy Army would be penning a song for him now as well.
It's just lucky the Poms can't come over.
Well, mate, it's lucky they're not playing cricket because they're washed out again today, the final day of their first warm-up game. So 22 overs were bowled. So their next warm-up game starts, I think, next Monday, and that looks like the forecast is horrible for Queensland.
So the Poms really aren't getting much
none
time.
None at all. So we're very lucky.
In the middle.
We're very lucky, the Aussies, at the moment. They're not getting much warm-up time. We've got a game starting on Wednesday, which is the Australia A's. It's a trial intra sort of game. So Mitch Marsh will be playing in that and a few others. Tim Payne plays in a one-day for Tassie against WA on Friday. I suspect he's playing. Again, for the life of me, he's not in the three best wicketkeeper batsmen in Australia. Now that he's no longer captain, why is he playing in the test team? I don't know.
Who would you pick?
I'd pick Alex Carey. Now, I like Joss Inglis as a long-termer, but I think Alex Carey's got the runs on the board. He's done his apprenticeship. He's been a leader in the short form of the game, and I think he's done everything right to be the next. At least he should get a chance at that role.
Do you think Tim Payne and Cricket Australia have done a bit of a backroom deal?
Absolutely no doubt that he is playing, because he would have resigned from as a player on the spot had he not known he was playing. I think he was given an assurance. I can't prove that.
Yeah.
That's my suspicion.
I have the same suspicions. And now, I don't have any suspicions over Novak Djokovic. I just know he's an idiot.
Well, so Tennis Australia, this is going back and forth like a rally, like the longest rally you've ever seen in tennis, right? And I don't get it.
It's like
Novak.
It's like Leighton Hewitt versus Andre Agassi. Just baseline.
Here's something, Novak. You know, it's not about you.
Yeah.
Okay. Australia. So Craig Tyler yesterday came out talking about the Australian summer, talking about, there's going to be some fantastic subplots to it, but hovering over it is the fact they are desperate for Novak Djokovic to play. He's on 9 Australian Opens. He wins next year. He breaks the record, sets a new...
I can't believe he's won so many.
And, I know, it's amazing. He's made it his own. It becomes 10 Australian Opens. Wow, that's just an amazing feat. They'd love him to set the new record here for Grand Slam victories. But he won't reveal, and Craig Tolley is staunchly saying, if you're not vaccinated, you won't play, as he should.
Mm.
So we'll see what happens. But Novak making the, you know, talking about theatre, sitting back saying, I won't reveal my status. Why not, Novak? Really? If it's not about you, why won't you?
Exactly.
I'm getting a bit sick of it, to be honest.
I know.
They should just draw a line in the sand and say, give us this. If you're not.
By deadline.
Don't let us know by this date. You are not playing. We have to structure our tournament around other people. It's just, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing what happens with Nick Kyrgios, who, by the way, suggested not long ago that the Australian Open should not be played in January. Yeah. So, I don't get that either.
Tennis.
Doors are open now over there.
Interesting characters.
Interesting to see how it plays out. People, you know, in tournament contracting COVID. Which will probably happen.
Yeah.
We're seeing a lot of AFL players at the moment. So this is the world we now live in. Live sport will be very much affected by COVID. And footballers, tennis players, whoever, pulling out at the last minute. So we are, yes.
Yeah, we just have to get used to it here. Quarters, thanks as always for joining us into the studio. We'll talk to you next week.
Pleasure. Look forward to pulling apart round 2 of the draft tonight.